when we start rightly dividing, a lot of times our focus is shifted from the left side of the Bible straight over to the right. And we tend to stay there. And we just don't tend to ever go back. So what I'm going to try to do today is put a little bit of emphasis on the Old Testament and the New Testament and see if we can make it all make sense. So that's what we're going to attempt. I'm going to attempt to do today, and hopefully it doesn't get too warm in here. I don't get too boring. Right. So in doing that, my first question to everybody in here is, I hope you all know this answer. Who in the Bible, born in the Old Testament, lived the longest?
Peter.
Who in the Bible, in the Old Testament, lived the longest? Okay. Number one. And how old was he? 969, that is correct. He was 969 years old. Oh Lord, please don't let me live that long. Who was number two? Oh. You know, I gave this I gave this study to the Sunday school kids. I had to make them think, so now I'm making you guys think. Who was number two?
Number one was Jesus. He's been here forever.
Good try. Anybody? Does anybody remember Jared? Not Subway Jared. You are witty. Jared was 962. Most people don't remember Jared. He's the first loser, right? He's number two, the first loser. Yeah. Anybody know number three? Famous in the Bible. No, but actually he's not even on there. He's not even on the top ten.
Noah,
thank you. Number three is Noah. Noah was 950. Number four, with nobody cheating on their tablets. Number four was Adam. Adam was 930. Let's just do the top five for time's sake. I did 10, but number five. Everybody remember Seth? Correct. Seth was the third child born to Adam and Eve, the third son. Number six is Kenan. He was 910. Number seven was Enos. He was 905. Number eight, I have a hard time pronouncing this one, Mahalalel. He was 895. Number nine, Lamech, was 777. What if I told you were all wrong on number one? What would you say?
You're right.
You are spot on today. What if I told you there was somebody that's older than all these?
And it's not Jesus.
And it's not Jesus. Steve, will you get me a paper towel? Sarah will get it. The witty one will get it. You're close. There you go. Who else did? Who is the other mention of that in the Bible? He's number three on the list before I erase it. Noah. Those are the only two that have that statement written about them in the Bible. They walked with God. Noah and Enoch. I know that Enoch didn't die. I have a Bible verse for that, and it's not taken out of context. Anybody know that one? How about the Hall of Faith? Let's go to Hebrews 11. Enoch has beaten them all. He did not die. Enoch, or Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11:5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He did not die. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. He must have had a lot of faith. And he's really old. Really old. He's got us all beat, hands down. Methuselah, he doesn't even have a chance. And then it goes to verse 6. But without faith is it impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Two things we know about Enoch. He had a lot of faith. And he diligently sought God by those two verses. And he walked with God. So let's now go back to what happened with Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, let's start with verse 18, where it talks about Enoch's dad, Jared. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch was 365 years old. And then something happened. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. In verse 24 it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. He was here, and then he was not. Star Trek didn't invent the transporter. Scotty did not beam him up. God did. He gone. Just like the Robertsons say, he gone. For God took him. Wouldn't that be nice? He was alive. He was here. And then he's gone. But there's a verse in the Bible that says it's appointed unto man once to die. if it says that in the Bible, then how can God not be a liar and his Bible be a liar? I want you to think about that. By sin, one man entered the world, and so death by sin. Right? Let's hold on to that thought. Mike, you had one other mention. Who was that?
Elijah.
Elijah. Does everybody know what happened with Elijah? He was taken up in a little bit more dramatic form. At least in my mind, it was a little more dramatic. Yeah. We're going to 2 Kings now. Second Kings chapter 2. As a kid, and Steve can attest to this, we grew up in a church school, so we had not only the normal church Sunday, Wednesday, you know, twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday, but we had Bible study every day of the week. And there was one teacher that was we just really enjoyed because he was just loud and moved, and he was just that kind of guy that would bring Bible stories to life. And the reason we liked him so much is he would kind of act these stories out. And he was very expressive. And we would always enjoy the Old Testament because that's where all the interesting stuff is. You know, these crazy things that would happen in the Old Testament. And we loved it. This is one of those stories that we really enjoyed when he would, you know, talk about this. So, 2 Kings chapter 2. In verse 1, let's start from here. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. All right, that's cool. A whirlwind, right on. So he's going to take him up in a whirlwind, and Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave you. I'm going with you, all right? I'm not going anywhere but right by your side. So Elijah is asking Elisha, stay here, please. He's like, no way, man. I'm going with you. I'm following you. And so they went to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Keep your mouth closed. I know what's going to happen. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'm not going to leave you. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He says, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. I know what's going to happen, guys. Be quiet. I got this. Shh. And Elisha said in verse 6, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Does anybody know what happens here? The second waters parted. It happened, actually, again after this. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they divided hither and thither. That they too went over dry ground. Moses wasn't the only one who had that ability, right? And it came to pass in verse 9, when they were gone over, and Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. What can I do for you? What can I do for you, Junior? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Elisha, if you see me when I'm taken up, or when I'm gone, or when I'm going, that'll happen. If you don't see me, it's not going to happen. Pretty simple, right? If you see me when I leave, you're getting it. If you don't, you're not getting it. Pretty straightforward guy. And it came to pass, as they still went on, they're still talking, they're still walking, still moving along, really weird things start to happen. And this is what I really enjoyed about the Old Testament. A chariot of fire and horses of fire. There appear just chariots of fire and horses of fire as they're walking along. Right, this guy's right next to me. Yeah, how's your day going? I'm pretty good. Chariots of fire and horses of fire came right in between them. What? Are you kidding me? He split them. And then what happens? Elisha went up in a whirlwind. Or a tornado just went, swooped him up. He gone. And in verse 12 it says, and Elisha saw it. That's good news for him. He's getting the double portion, right? And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Yeah, I'd be pretty scared about that too. That's the act of humility. And oh my goodness. What did I just see? Chariots of fire and horses of fire just split the two of us, and then they went up in a whirlwind. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He picked up the guy's mantle. And so he took it and he went over to the waters and said, little test here, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, and they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Parted the waters again. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, and they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha, and they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, well, we're not going to go into that. We'll stop there. What they did was they kept asking Elisha, let's go find him. Normally, when you see somebody caught up in a tornado or a whirlwind, you're thinking gravity is going to bring them back down, right? So, it might have been a waterspout. It could have been, but whirlwind, who knows? But they're asking him to say, let us go find him at least. What do they want to do? They wanted to bury him, right? They found his mantle. Obviously, Elisha picked that up. But anytime you see something like that, you're going to go look for the person. Gravity's going to take effect. They're going to come back down. 3 days, they looked for him. Never found him. He gone. A lot of times in the Old Testament, most of the time, you're going to see Elijah lived, or not Elijah, Enoch, but it says Adam lived 900 and some odd years, and he died. Methuselah lived 969 years, and he died. Jared lived 962 years, and he died. You'll always see that. And he died. Adam, 910, I think it was, or 12, and he died. I don't see that anywhere here. I don't see it when I read about Enoch. I don't see it when I read about Elijah. There's no "and he died." So how is it possible that these two guys did not know death? But they're gone. How can we reconcile that and the verse that says it's appointed unto man once to die?
Revelation chapter 11.
You know where I'm going. What about Moses? Does anybody know another place where the Bible tells us that Elisha was standing on the ground? Elijah, sorry.
Transfiguration.
Yes. Who was there?
Abraham and
Elijah.
Moses.
Moses and Elijah. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, let's just start in the first verse. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. In verse 2 it says, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. In verse 3, and behold, there appear unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Elias, that's another way to say Elijah. And in verse 4 it says, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, or Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And if you were on the ground and you heard a big voice coming out of a cloud, I think you'd be terrified too. In verse 6 it says, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Yeah. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
They were afraid of the cloud. Yeah. They weren't worried about the two guys. They were worried about the cloud that was talking above them. And if you have the voice of God, I think I'd be scared too. There's another place, and this is why when Jesus asked the disciples, what did they answer? They say, who do you think I am? Or who do people say I am? And the disciple said, some people think you're Elijah. Let's read why. Malachi. Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Why did people think that Jesus might be Elijah? Because they could read. They were taught. In verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So they have prophecy that Elijah was going to come back. So we're absolutely certain that Enoch did not see death. We can read that in Hebrews 11. What about Romans 5:12, the verse that we're talking about? Romans 5:12, it says, "Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Can God lie? No. We have Bible for that too. Titus 1:2, Hebrews 6:18, Numbers 23:19, it all says God cannot lie. God cannot lie. So let's figure out what's going to happen. Or let's figure out what is a likelihood of what's going to happen. We don't know for sure. We don't get the two names. Mike, you call it again. Revelation 11. John is getting hammered with information. He's seeing things that's going to happen that I don't know how he made it through this. Be truthful. There's a lot of things that is not written down that he was told not to put down. But in chapter 11 it says in verse 1, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out." Don't measure that. "For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. In verse 3, we get an idea of what's going to happen. "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." In sackcloth. 1,260 days. "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be in this manner killed." He must be killed. "These have power to shut up heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will." People are going to be pretty upset at them. They have the power, plagues, deserts, it's not going to rain. People are going to be angry with them. In verse 7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. They are going to die. And what's going to happen after the beast kills them? And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They're going to be happy about it. They're not even going to bury them. They're going to let them lay in the street. And they shall dwell upon the earth, shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another. They're going to be so happy that they're going to be sending gifts to each other. All right, so they die in the streets, and everybody's so happy that they're making merry and shall send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. So roughly 3.5 years, 1,260 days. They're going to be drying up the waters. They're going to be bringing plagues. And the people are going to be happy when they're dead. Smartphones, whatever else they have. And after 3 days, what happens? They come back to life. And they get up off the street. What? This is so cool. And they're not the walking dead. They're very much alive. And after 3 days, 3.5 days, sorry, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up. Shaking off the dust. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. What? That weird movie, The Fog, rolling in. They got caught up in a cloud. A cloud just comes down and swoops them up. This is crazy. This is cool stuff. That's why we like that guy from our old school. This is so neat. Two guys didn't die in the Old Testament. It's appointed when a man wants to die. Romans 5, death by sin. And so each man has to die, right? We know this guy didn't die for sure. They couldn't find his body. His mantle fell. Still had the power. Was given to Elisha. He got a double measure, right? We read that back in 2 Kings. Some people say, well, what about Moses? He was at the transfiguration, right? But I know that Moses already died once. In Deuteronomy 34:5, Moses already died a physical death. We don't have the names of these two witnesses. But if there's two guys that would likely fall under the candidates of being back on earth to die a physical death, it's those two. And the Bible can still be true. Right? Elijah and Enoch are the best two candidates for this job. to be the two witnesses. Enoch's been around for a long time. He didn't see death. God took him up, transported him, beamed him up. You think he's witnessed a lot? You think he's witnessed a lot in heaven? Yeah. Elijah has too. They've been given power. Those two guys will be given power as the two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days, clothed in sackcloth. I think there's going to be people who's like, these guys are weird. What are they wearing? We live in a time that people will mock us and belittle us for believing the Bible. We live in a time where our fellow Christians will mock us for rightly dividing it. That is common. We look at Paul and we see that he was encouraging Timothy in this way. In 2 Timothy 3:12 it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you're doing it right, if you're following Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." It's going to get worse. People say, "No, it's getting better. We're all coming together in unity." No, it's not. And it hasn't been. Some of these guys, there's a whole bunch of other theories about this, but there's guys that were living on this earth for 969 years. This was before the flood. What is the average age? What does Psalms tell us? Between 70 and 80. 70 is pretty normal. 80 if you have the strength. You're in trouble. You got nothing to worry about. We know where you're going. But it also says in 2 Timothy, it says, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast heard them." Trust your Bible. Study your Bible. Believe it. Rightly divide it and apply it. So just like I asked the kids upstairs, anybody have any questions?